My guest at this time is Peter Sapp, Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayer organization in the country. We check in with Pete a lot when there are major tax issues on the table. You may remember our conversation about the president's jobs bill not too long ago. Right now in the Republican presidential campaign, one particular tax plan seems to be getting most of the attention, and it's simply known by one number three times, 999, the Herman Cain tax plan, which would essentially scrap the tax code as it currently exists, replace it with a 9% corporate tax rate, 9% personal income tax rate, and then institute a 9% national sales tax rate. Some say it's a great way to simplify the system and move towards less taxation. Others say the installation of a new national sales tax could make our tax bills way higher, depending on how things play out down the road. So Pete's here to talk about it with us now. And Pete, it's always good to have you.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, when you hear the details, and right now those pretty much are the details of 999, what do you make of it?
Based on those details, we need to view this plan as a transition to something that Herman Cain has envisioned for our tax system for quite some time, which is the fair tax system. That is legislation in Congress as well as a well-developed framework of proposals to transition the entire personal, corporate, income tax, payroll tax, death tax, and other federal tax systems into a single rate national retail sales tax on most goods and services with what's called a prebate mechanism to help protect poor and working class Americans from having to pay too much tax on the basic necessities of life. It's a universal prebate, but it's designed to introduce some progressivity in the system. That's the end point that Herman Cain envisions. 999 is supposed to be the midpoint where our tax system might go in the next several years, pending a full changeover to the fair tax. This is where we get caught up in a lot of details about the 999 plan. Will there be, for example, a standard deduction or personal exemption of some large size so that poor working class and even middle class families get at least some of their earnings shielded from the personal tax? There are supposedly a number of business expense deductions that would be written off before the 9% corporate profits tax would apply. That number would certainly be way, way smaller than the complex maze of deductions and credits in the current system, but we're still not quite certain of exactly what kind of pieces of business overhead could be written off. The 9% retail sales tax, well, one could assume that the base of tax would be the same as the end gain, the fair tax that Herman Cain wants, but then again, it might not be. We lack sufficient detail there, and that's an important question because the base for the fair tax, the goods and services that would be subject to it, it tends to be broader than what most state and local governments have right now.
We're talking with Peter Sapp of the National Taxpayers Union, and Pete, you mentioned that 999 is a transitional plan. Cain has certainly mentioned that. He hasn't mentioned it a lot in debates. But let's say that 999 got approved, but then before the fair tax or some other more permanent system got put in there, either the majorities or the numbers in Congress changed, or for whatever reason, we were stuck with that for a relatively lengthy period of time. What would be the impact of that?
See, that's the main question and concern among many folks. The fair tax basically has a self-destruct mechanism in it. If there's not a repeal of the existing system, including the income and payroll taxes, the fair tax can't take effect. Well, under 999, that's not necessarily going to be the case. You will have the national retail sales tax, albeit at a lower rate, alongside the income and corporate taxes. That could very well freeze into place a system where we have income and consumption taxes, and at any given point in time, those rates could be raised or some of the various deduction and exemption provisions could be tinkered with. Of course, this is a problem with many kinds of tax reform plans. When Republican candidates raise objections on that basis to Cain's plan, they sometimes ought to take a closer look at some of the own plans that they are endorsing outsourcing because they also suffer from that kind of defect. What we need to worry about here is whether we can set up perhaps constitutional protections that will make it more difficult for these plans to quickly turn into the same kind of complex and burdensome system we have now. You could, for example, require a supermajority of members of Congress to raise any tax rate or create any new tax. You could also constitutionally repeal the provision that's in our Constitution now allowing a progressive income tax.
Pete, for those who are in favor of a fair tax or whatever tax reform they would like to see, a lot of different ideas out there. What's the explanation from Kane or anyone else you've talked to who's a supporter of the fair tax as to why this transitional step would be necessary?
Well, I think candidate Kane believes that perhaps the American people need an introduction to the concept of the fair tax through a national retail sales tax, maybe at a lower rate, alongside some redesigned income tax system, so they can realize that, well, it's not necessarily an impossibly radical step to get rid of all of these systems. So he keeps saying things such as, this is a transition, and we could look at it more as a bridge to an ultimately better destination. I frankly think that the American people are ready for wholesale change and that they wouldn't necessarily be absolutely averse to going all the way over to the consumption-based tax system and maybe even skipping the so-called 999 step.
Let's focus on one issue that came up in the debate in our closing moments here, Pete. And the question and the premise in the debate on Bloomberg TV the other night was that Kane's plan would not raise the same amount of revenue as we currently have, which is about $2.2 trillion a year. He vigorously disputed that. Have you done any analysis as to who's right on that?
It is feasible that the 999 plan could raise roughly the same amount of revenue that is currently brought in by federal income and payroll taxes. The problem is, without further details on exactly what the new sales tax base would be, exactly what kinds of new personal deductions might exist, exactly how much of a write-off that businesses might be allowed to take, and exactly how his new empowerment zones would work, it's impossible to say precisely what the revenue effect would be. So for Herman Cain to vigorously dispute those assertions, he certainly has a right to do so, and it's quite possible that he would be correct in saying it raises as much revenue as we do now. We just need to see a bit more detail to verify that assertion.
Pete, we'll have to leave it there, but I'm guessing you're pretty happy the tax policy is right at the center of the debate right now.
Yes, whoever's making the proposal and whatever the proposals are, it's just a good thing that we are talking about this. Talk, however, needs to lead to better action.
And we'll see what happens as the campaign continues. Sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Peter Sepp, Executive Vice President of the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.